On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to the Tuesday, 17th of June, 2025 edition of On the Radar with me, your host, Sean Jordan Recep, alongside
Dafa Happy Juju.
All right. As the new week gains momentum, we bring you the latest stories making headlines across the nation and beyond, keeping you informed, engaged, and ahead of the curve. From developments in the business and political spheres to technology, education, health, and community impact, On the Radar is your go-to source for reliable news, insightful analysis, and exclusive interviews. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM. Remember, you can stay connected via our Eagle FM mobile app, our website, and our radio frequencies across the country. Be sure to subscribe to the Villager WhatsApp for up-to-the-minute alerts. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. Join the conversation by calling us, in studio at 083-288-401. That was 083-288-401. Stay tuned. There's plenty to unpack on today's show. So let's get started. Zimbabwe is known as the top lithium producer in Africa with 2.4 million tons of concentrate in 2024. With this in mind, they plan to stop exporting lithium concentrate from January 2027, with the goal being to develop a local processing industry that can capture more value from the mineral. Zimbabwe's mining minister, Winston Chintando, announced the decision last week on June the 10th. He said the move aligns with ongoing lithium sulfate plant projects, particularly those led by Chinese companies, Simo Mine and Zhejiang Huai Cobalt. These firms, are building processing plants at the Bikita and Arcadia mines. Lithium sulfide is made by refining lithium concentrate and is used to produce high-level and high-value battery-grade chemicals like lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide. But what would this mean for Southern African lithium production? Is this good for Namibia's economic development? To answer these and more, my colleague Joseph Jeremiah sat down with Alejandro Johnson, an economist from Simony Storms, to interrogate this further. Let's take a listen.
This is Joseph Jeremiah tuned in into On the Radar, and today we are discussing an international news with one of the Namibian economists. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
So, Mr. Alejandro, there is a circulation of a report that says Zimbabwe, the top lithium producer in Africa with 2.4 million tons of concentrate in 2024, plans to stop exporting lithium concentrate from January 2027. The goal is to develop a local processing industry that can capture more value from the mineral. So we as the Namibians, we are part of Africa, and I believe this decision does not only affect Zimbabwe, but Africa as a whole. So we just want to know, how could Zimbabwe's move to increase local lithium processing influence the broader South African mining sector and supply chains?
Yeah, so I think it's a very good move for Zimbabwe to do this. It opens up a lot of doors for its neighbors as Namibia, Zambia, and DRC. It really just opens up a lot of window for opportunity, as everyone of those countries have their strong points as where they can also benefit from this in the long run. I think the stance from Zimbabwe doing this is not the first African country of recent to do that. We've seen that Ghana has done it, Mali has done it, and Burkina Faso has also done it. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for Namibia to follow suit and to also follow without necessarily having such a rich resource country. I think we can also do the same with our resources.
So would Zimbabwe's policy serve as a model for Namibia or other African countries seeking to capture more value from their mineral resources?
Yes, it definitely. It creates a model of how we can also just follow the suit. We can adapt to what Zimbabwe is doing. It's a clear vision for industrialization in Zimbabwe. And like I mentioned before, Namibia can do the same with its uranium. It also has lithium and other raw minerals. So I think definitely, and just aligning with the policies, showing that, listen, we want investors to come in to ensure that we leverage on our resources and that we move in a strategic way for Namibia to be like, we want our resources to add value when they leave our shores, and just to also make sure that, listen, we're not longer on the train of just exporting our raw materials. We want to export value-added mineral goods.
Mm. So since Namibia, Zambia, and DRC also produce lithium, is there a possibility for these countries to collaborate on cross-border value chain for lithium?
No, most definitely. There is a strong potential for collaboration. I mean, we're all in close proximity to one another, and all of these countries have their strength, as like Namibia has the port of Walvis Bay. So, I mean, we can utilize that with other countries of Zambia, Zimbabwe, and DRC. Zambia has a very strong experience in mining. And also we can just, draw on the experience that they have in this. And also DRC, once again, we know they are very, have a good range of mineral resources, and with the cobalt, with the lithium, and they obviously also have experience in this. And I think once again, the opportunity for collaboration is just endless. I mean, examples that we can take from is that the regional processing hubs. Yes, Zimbabwe have the processing hubs for lithium, but I mean, doesn't mean that each country now needs to set up their own ones. We can pull together and invest in different processing hubs, whether it is in Namibia or in Zimbabwe. And I mean, just creating special economic zones on the borders of between Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Namibia. So this is just a few ideas. And I mean, infrastructure corridors, like we mentioned, Namibia, Walvis Bay corridor that's currently operating, where Zambian trucks come through into Namibia and exit on the Walvis Bay harbor. So these are just certain things that we can already look at, that's already implemented, and just enhances it. But I think there's some challenges that we also need to consider. We know that the three countries all have different policies when it comes to tax regimes, investments, and just various policies that we need to consider. And also the big question mark is that Zimbabwe hasn't been as long as we know, the political environment in Zimbabwe hasn't been the most stable. So that's also something that we need to consider. And also just lastly, the energy supply constraints, because when it comes to processing lithium, it's a very high power demand type of process. So we need to look at having renewable energy projects to ensure that it's not just dependent on the fossil fuels and when it comes to generating electricity. So these are like the things that we need to consider. So it's on the cards. It's a very good idea, or that we can move towards, but it comes with risks and obviously a lot of opportunities also.
Mm. So lastly, Mr. Almandro, Namibia is a major global uranium producer known for its significant reserves and mining activities. So according to reports, the country is currently the second largest uranium producer. Would you perhaps think it is best for Namibia prioritizing uranium as Zimbabwe did?
So yes, Namibia is one of the biggest uranium producers in the world, but I'm a firm believer of don't have all your eggs in one basket. And like I mentioned before, Namibia has got a vast variety of resources that they have to their disposal. So, and I don't think Namibia should put all the eggs on focus on uranium. I think continue the diversification of having a focus on diamonds, uranium, gold, and also now with the potential of having the oil and gas. So I think just keep the diversity going. And also, once again, let's not get too dependent on exporting raw materials. Let's add value to them. Let's ensure that when it leaves our shores, it also leaves with the necessary value that it goes into our current account. You see it in the trade balance. We see the values and the foreign exchange inflows into Namibia that it picks up at the end of the day. That we're not just, exporting raw materials, but actually materials that are of value and that it benefits Namibia in the long run. Because just as the oil and gas, if we just leave it as that, leaves our shores raw. Where is that? How is that money going to be transferred into the generations to come? We can obviously take that fund and build infrastructure, put it into our Valvitia sovereign fund. So those are just examples that we can do with all the resource that we have, but we need to ensure that we add value to them.
Okay, sir. Thank you for availing time for us, sir. And as usual, let's keep warm, sir.
No, thank you so much.
And there we had it. For now, let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll return yet with more news. This is On The Reader News Bulletin. You're also encouraged to partake in the news bulletin. The number in studio is 083-288-401.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nwe udite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshua.
Welcome back. Yesterday, residents in Sesfontein casted their votes in by-elections to choose new constituency councillors to preside over their constituency. The voting process has been deemed imperative to the economic and social political advancement of the settlement, with candidates promising better job and economic opportunities. This election was prompted by the resignation of the former councillors who joined the National Assembly with their political parties. To tackle this, my colleague Lois Eshimi brings us this update. Let's take a listen.
Okay. All right, to move on to our next item is that residents in Sesfontein are casting their votes this morning in a by-election to choose new councillors or constituency councillors, actually. So now joining us for an update is our reporter at the Koneni region, that is Wakutura Kambayekwa, just on this. A very good morning to you. Come to On The Radar.
Good morning to you as well and to the listener out there.
We are doing great, Kambayekwa. Yeah, speak to us. What is the atmosphere like there? Also for our listeners, can you also just explain why Sesfontein is also holding those councillors election now? What happened maybe to the previous councillors?
Very good morning. Once again, and as you put it also at the beginning that there is indeed a by-election for the Sesfontein constituency, not the only constituency. I understand that also in Kamanyap for the same activities also were taking place there. That will also be Oshiwarongo, Grootfontein, and some parts of the Sabesi region, which was slated for today, which is the 17th of June, 2025. Actually, these elections were all necessitated by the resignation of the former councillors, who also paid to also join the National Assembly under their various political party tickets. And as for the Sesfontein and Kamanyap, which were under the leadership of the United Democratic Front, or the councillor of Sesfontein, who was Henry Haupipe, was also equally the chairperson of the Kunene Regional Council, including Nico Somaip of Kamanyap, who was also the vice president of the UDF. They resigned in March this year to take up seats in the National Assembly under the UDF ticket, which also necessitated these elections that we're also focusing now on. As you're speaking now, we are in Sesfontein, but in the morning we're also at Varamkwele, it's a village 12 kilometers south of Sesfontein. Sesfontein now, it's the capital village where the region, where the constituency office is located. The by-election kicked off at 7 in the morning. Also, despite this not being declared as a public holiday by the norm of elections, but you can, as you can see at the turnout for the five polling stations that we visited so far, you can see that the turnout is picking up. But in the morning, we went to some kindergarten where it was very low, perhaps. When you came there around 8, it was maybe only 5 people that voted. Went to the school where you can see that at least there are a lot of people, close to 50, At the Varamkwele, we at least encountered more than 100 voters on that side. As we also spoke to the official or presiding officers, they have not experienced any perhaps major technical issues apart maybe from the biometric or the tape or for the finger scanning, which is a bit of an issue. We don't know maybe if it was a bit cold in the morning, especially for the older people or so. But as you are speaking now, everything is running smoothly. We also understand that the same process is also running smoothly at the site of of Kamanyap, which is also in the Kunene region. We also spoke to Mr. Nganyone on the counting of votes, which they also confirmed that it will be done today at the center where we are now here in sales for day, meaning that after 9, they have to ensure that at least by 12 or after 12, the votes count will be issued, and also to determine as to which party will be able to take over these constituencies. Here in South Fontaine, we have 4 political parties that are contesting. We have the ruling Swapo Party. There is the Popular Democratic Movement candidate, UDF, which is the leading party or which won the elections. This is in our fresh elections, meaning that we don't have a councillor. So all these 4 contesting, one of them will be a councillor at the end of either today or early tomorrow morning to be declared as the winner. There is also the IPC, all those 4 candidates, but in Kamanyap, we have the United Democratic Front, which is also the leading party there. Then also including Swapo, meaning that 5 political parties, or in fact 7 candidates in total, will be gunning for seats in the Kunene constituency for these 2 constituencies that are specified for these by-elections.
Mm. Can you kindly maybe just take us through the names and also the names of the previous councillors that just resigned?
Okay, thank you very much. Normally for the previous councillor that resigned, the one for Sesfondin was Mr. Henry Khaubaev. And then the one for Kamanyap, it was Nico Somaev. For now, we understand that the Swapo Party agriculturalist or environmentalist, Mr. Titus Rungondo, will be running for this very same constituency. And for PDM, we understand that it's Mr. Nico Kaifuma. And then for which other parties they left behind. And then for, we say we have UDF. I have to get those names correct.
Okay.
I think I put them somewhere, but by the end of the day today, at least I have to ensure that I have all these names provided to the listener out there.
All right. Kamboko, also, any commotion that is happening within there, is it a peaceful one, or how is it actually?
The commotion is proper. We have not encountered any issues. That's now also in terms of political campaigns. And so remember that also the law states that during the election period, parties will cease from political campaigns. Everything is proper. We have not encountered any issues pertaining to various political sympathizers or supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I think the election is running smooth, free and fair.
Oh, okay. All right. Any maybe complaints also regarding the residents or the voters actually that are coming through? What are they saying actually regarding this election?
Normally, we know that during such periods, candidates make a lot of promises, some fulfilled, some not being fulfilled. I think that's one of the issues that the electorates underline also, or that they underscored, is that whichever candidate wins, it doesn't matter from which party they hail from, they should ensure that at least they deliver the service diligently to all residents of the constituency. But apart from the election process itself, I think they're for them, on the other side, I think they have no issues, apart maybe from the candidates that they are to vote today, to make sure that areas such as Fosfontein, areas such as Kamanyap, at least being elevated out of poverty, and also at least to be a tangible result in terms of development. For those that are at home now, at least it's about time for them to also make sure that they make their way to all polling stations. We have 44 polling stations this side in both constituencies, 18 in Kamanyap and 26 in Sesfontein. At least for those that are at home, make sure that they make their way and cast their votes for the candidates that they prefer.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much, Kambakwa, for having you today.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Have you downloaded the Eagle FM app yet? Stay connected to your favorite shows and podcasts all at your fingertips. Search for Eagle FM Namibia on the App Store or Google Play and never miss a moment. But for now, we take a trip to the marketplace. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudete okoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwanda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatulimwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will...
Welcome back. Stay connected with Eagle FM, news without borders. Eagle FM is everywhere, always on, always available. Whether you're commuting, working or relaxing at home, simply plug in your earphones and stay informed with minimal convenience. Our platform delivers real-time news and analysis straight to your phone, keeping you in the know wherever you are. In partnership with our sister ePaper, we provide concise, informative, expert summaries of Namibia's latest business, economic and policy developments, delivered digitally every single Monday, Wednesday and Friday. It's your essential brief to start the week informed and stay ahead. Looking to grow your business reach? Our complementary apps, including Imba and Eagle FM app, offer targeted opportunities for visibility and of their products and services across a wide spectrum of consumers, from urban professionals to rural communities. And let's not forget, our social media platforms are among the most active in the country, giving brands, startups, and individuals the perfect space to amplify their voices and visibility and connect with engaged audiences in real time. Eagle FM, where your voice, your story, and your business are always on the radar. Now, we interrupt this report to give you a special message from our friends at Paratus. Stay tuned.
Taking flight has never been easier. Paratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelts. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Paratus branch to find out more. Or go to paratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always
Paratus. And welcome back. Namibia is hosting day two of the 22nd annual conference of the Association of Parliamentary Libraries in Eastern and Southern Africa, or APLESA, under the theme Parliamentary Libraries and Democracy in the Digital Age in Swakopmund. The event brings together delegates from 15 member parliaments across the region to discuss how digital tools can improve parliamentary transparency, legislative efficiency, and citizen access to information. Established in 1994, APLESA has become a key platform for training, collaboration, and strengthening democratic institutions through informed knowledge sharing. During today's session, delegates were taken through a comprehensive research study undertaken by Hilia Pudeng Roberts to understand access to information, particularly pertaining to members of parliament and staff living with disabilities. Let's take a listen.
To execute the parliamentary duties, the stigma became an obstacle and a problem to inclusion for members of parliament with disability. Solution was found where the Parliament of Ghana ensured that disability issues are promoted and mainstreamed in the work of parliament through inclusive legislation and represent people with disability in the Parliament of Ghana to ensure disability inclusions as well as disability champions. This study seeks to find out if challenges identified by QASI 2022 affect the staff and the members of parliament. The purpose of the study. This particular study aimed to investigate the role of Professor Peter Kachavivi Resource Center in the provision of inclusive information to the staff and members of the Namibian parliament with a disability to effectively execute their constitutional mandate of legislation, oversight, and representation in the best interests of the people of Namibia. The main research question of this study was, to what an extent does the staff and members of the Namibian Parliament with disability receive inclusive information services to allow them to effectively execute their constitutional duties of legislation, oversight, and representation in the best interest of the people of Namibia. This main question was answered by addressing the three sub-questions, which are to find out the extent to which staff and members of the parliament with disability access information services at the parliament. What are the challenges facing the staff and members of the parliament in accessing information services at parliament? What can the Parliament of Namibia do to improve the provision of information services to staff and members of the Parliament with disabilities? The significance of the study. This study was significant in the sense that it sought to establish the availability of inclusive information services at the Parliament of Namibia that will help the staff and the members of Parliament with disabilities to access information services physically and electronically. This study also seeks to come up with a recommendation to inform on policy and enforce existing policies to improve on the standard on inclusive information services to staff and members of parliament with disability. The delimitation of the study. The study was only remitted to the staff and the members of the Namibian parliament and to none else. The literature review. According to the United Nations 2006 Convention on the Rights of Person with Disability informed that people with disability include those who have long-term physical, mental, intellectual, or sensory impairments. Interaction with various barriers may hinder their full and effective participation in society on equal basis with others. People with various disabilities should have access to inclusive information services, considering the provision in Article 2 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. That is United Nations 2006. In the provision of communication includes language, display of text, braille, tactile communication, large print, accessible multimedia, as well as written, audio, brain language, human reader, and accessible in information and communication technology. Similar studies on disability in Ghana stress that stigma is an obstacle to inclusion for people with disability, including the stereotypes as well as negative set of beliefs toward people with disability. And there is increasing recognition of the need to address stigma with disability in inclusion programs. On a similar study from the Kingdom of Eswatini on inclusion to information services found the barriers to persons living with disabilities such as limited human and non-human resources, facility and equipment. That is from Dlamini 2021. The Parliamentary Library Parliamentary Assembly Council of Europe Committee on Equality and Non-Discrimination of 2017 informed that the European Union and Member States are committed to improve on social economic situation of persons with disability through signing of treaties and the Charter of Fundamental Rights. And the United States of America Disability Act, which was signed into law in the year 1990, protects the people with disability in many areas of public life. The conceptual model which guided this study. It was guided by a conceptual model on human rights by Telesia Degna of 2014, and it was adopted by the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, and it reminds that people with disability deserve their human rights and regards disability as an impairment that needs to be treated, cured, fixed, or at least rehabilitated. The model was important for this study as it informed on the methodology, particularly the issue of questions to be asked in the interview and questionnaires. The model also focused on holistic realization of human rights in the sense that society provides access to a whole range of social, political, as well as environmental support to people with disability. The methodology. This study was a mixed methodology. It employed a qualitative and quantitative research. Quantitative is studies in the empirical investigation which have to do with numerical, and qualitative in the studies the why, the how in a real life situation, and the population of the study was the staff and the members of parliament, 104 the members of parliament from the National Assembly and 76 members of the National Council and 42 members of the council. This study took place between the 21st and 26th February 2025. It was the time where our members were busy with the election. So,
and with that, we're taking a quick commercial break. But please do stay with us, only on the radar.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. The Trump family said it will launch a mobile phone company, the latest in a string of ventures that have been announced while Donald Trump is in the White House, despite ethical concerns that the US president could mold public policy for personal gain. AP goes on to report Eric Trump, one of Donald Trump's sons, who will run the business, said that the new company would build its own phones in the US and maintain a call center in the country as well. The announcement of the new mobile phone company and service follows several real estate deals for towers and resorts in the Middle East, including a golf development in Qatar, announced in April. A $1.5 billion partnership to build golf courses, hotels, and real estate projects in Vietnam was approved last week, but the deal was in the works way before Trump was elected. Trump has criticized Apple last month because it planned to make most of the US iPhones in India and threatened to slap a 25% tariff on the devices unless the tech giant starts building the product in its home country. Here's more on that story.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have everyone back here on Trump Tower on this very fateful day, 10 years later. A lot has happened since then, and we're here to announce something pretty special. We've been working for a long time trying to deliver for the American people, for doing something unique for people who'd been underserved. And today we're here to introduce Trump Mobile. We've partnered with some of the greatest people in the industry to make sure that real Americans can get true value from their mobile carriers. A big part of what we've done right now in the world has been focused on technology for people who have been underserved, whether that's been in crypto or anything else. But one of the places where we felt there was lackluster performance was in the mobile industry. And so with Trump Mobile, we're going to be introducing an entire package of products that people can come, they can get telemedicine on their phone for one flat monthly fee, roadside assistance in their cars, unlimited texting to 100 countries around the world. And we've partnered with some of the best to really bring something unique to the American people. So I think what I'll do is let the team really speak for this, because they've probably forgotten more about mobile technology than I'll ever actually know. And with that, I'm going to introduce Pat.
Hi, I'm Pat O'Brien. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming. First off, I want to really thank Don and Eric for all the help they've given us as we've put this program together. And I think Don said it best. When we got together, the whole point of this is to really make sure that the American people are getting a good value from their wireless service. I'm really here to talk about the fact that our executive management team has over 120 years of experience in the mobile industry. I'm going to bring a guy up here in a little bit by the name of Don Hendrickson that's been in it since there was things called pagers, and a lot of you people might not know what those are, but he used to sell a lot of them. From the standpoint of the products themselves and what we're going to be providing, we're not only going to be doing wireless service, we are going to be doing phones that we are going to build in America. Our call center is based in America. And we're focusing on really making these programs great for American people so that we can actually deliver something to them that they normally don't get, and that's service with a value. So as you see our plans, you're going to notice that there's a lot of things, as Donald pointed out, that are programs in there designed for the consumer to basically be in a situation where they get coverage for other things that they're going to use on an everyday basis, because life happens to people. So what I'm going to do is turn it over to Don Hendrickson right now to tell you a little bit about the plans and the in-depth of what they're going to cover.
Thank you, Pat. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Just want to take the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about what we're doing that differentiates Trump Mobile from the rest of the carriers. Today, when you talk about wireless services, everybody thinks unlimited talk, unlimited data, unlimited text. That's great. That's part of the service. That's part of the opportunity. At Trump Mobile, we're going to give our end users a much better experience. We're going to include, as Pat said earlier and Don had said earlier, telemedicine. So this way, if you have an issue or a problem, you use your Trump Mobile phone. You make a call to a doctor that's available to you 24/7, 365. That doctor can write you a prescription. You can take that prescription to CVS, have that prescription filled out, supplied for you, all at no additional cost. This is all part of your Trump Mobile program. So that's taking care of you. We also take care of your phone by adding into the program protection services, device protection. So if I have an iPhone 11, I have an iPhone 16, I'm going to have coverage because I'm a part of Trump Mobile. That's not an added amount to my monthly bill. It's part of my monthly bill. So those are two very important things, taking care of your phone, taking care of you. We also, through a partnership with Drive America, offer you roadside assistance. So roadside assistance is included in the program, which gives you the opportunity to have your car taken care of as well. So we have your health, we have your phone's health, we have your car's health. So we're taking care of what matters to the American people most, which is getting to work, taking their family out, and doing things that are worthwhile. Now, how are we going to help families? We're going to also offer unlimited calling to over 100 different countries, and those 100 countries are listed clearly across the board, and that opportunity to allow families stay close together. Whether you're across the sea or you're here, you're going to be able to communicate and talk. So we're super excited to launch this program, super excited for this opportunity. It's going to be amazing. As Pat said, our customer service is here in Middle America. We have over 250-seat rep center ready to help consumers with any questions, any situations. Onboarding is simple. You could do bring your own device. If you love your phone, bring it on over. If you hate your phone, we've got phones available. So we'll be able to work with any consumer at any level of their transactional opportunity. So that being said, I'd like to turn it over to my partner, Eric. Eric is in charge of our division, which builds the phones, which, by the way, are going to be made here in the USA. So we'll be employing people for customer service, for remanufacturing of phones, as well as for the opportunity of building our own phone. Eric?
Thanks, Don. It's good to be with you. First, I just want to thank the Trump Organization for the opportunity that we've had. It's been great working with these guys. And, you know, what Don just explained, you know, with this mobile plan, we're going to take care of the user, you know, give them the value. And as we look at it with this brand that we have and be able to put the Trump name with it, you know, just like the Trumps have done everything they do to elevate in the real estate world, in the golf world, the hotel industry, now with the mobile phone industry, you know, take a service that's widely provided and add more to it for the end user with the telemedicine, with the roadside assistance. But also, as we make the user better, again, we wouldn't be right if or partnering with the Trumps if we weren't making America great as well. And that's why we want to help keep the jobs in America and build the phones and create devices and build devices for those end users here in America to produce jobs, produce and secure everybody's vital information. We have so much information these days that transfers through your phone, all that personal information. And why not have control of that from the beginning of when that phone is made? So it's made here with quality control right here in the USA.
Have you downloaded the Eagle FM app yet? Stay connected to your favorite shows and podcasts, all at your fingertips. Search for Eagle FM Namibia on the App Store or Google Play and never miss a moment. But for now, we take a trip to the marketplace. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to talk.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
And welcome back. Now for your trading economic indicators. One US dollar will cost you 17.82 Namibian dollars, whereas 1 euro will cost you 17.82 Namibian dollars. 1 pound sterling equals 24.11 Namibian dollars. 1 Japanese yen equals 0.12 Namibian dollars. 1 Chinese yuan equals 2.48 Namibian dollars. 1 Australian dollar equals 11.63 Namibian dollars. Whereas 1 Swiss franc equals 11.63 Namibian dollars. Now for your top currency gains and losers. The top currency losers for the Asian foreign exchange updates are the South Korean won at minus 0.33% and the Japanese yen at minus 0.09%, whereas gains are led by the Chinese yuan at 0.01%. In agricultural updates, the top commodity losers are orange juice at minus 5.38%, rice at minus 2.61%, and oat at minus 2.20%, whereas the gains are led by palm oil at 4.23%, sunflower oil at 3.63%, and cocoa at 3.16%. In your metal commodity updates, your top commodity gainers are platinum at 2.28%, copper at 1.13%, and steel rebar at 0.68%, whereas your biggest losers are gold at minus 1.24%. In energy commodities, your top gainers are uranium at 9.25%, natural gas at 4.09%, and natural gas EU Dutch TTF at 0.91%. Your biggest losers are crude oil WTI at minus 2.68%, Brent crude oil at minus 2.25%, and gasoline at minus 1.45%. In your foreign exchange updates, your top currency gainers are the Brazilian real at 0.96% and the South Korean won at 0.86%, whereas your biggest losers are the dollar index at minus 0.14%. And with that, we take a quick trip to the marketplace, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the radar.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamoyiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatimwe mbali heari nola natu. Heari bali no heari ile konderewa. Mbara hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and I will take you to news beyond the borders. And of course, we start off regionally. Then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, be expectant of the international news. And I'll start off in South Africa. We're talking about the G7 summit, where global leaders are meeting to address economic challenges. Let's take a listen.
The G7 summit being held in Canada has brought together global leaders to address pressing global issues. Now, these include economic recovery, climate change, and development financing. We're joined now by Professor Ewan Pimister, Head of Development Finance at the Stellenbosch Business School, to explore the summit's outcomes and their implications development. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Now, how can South Africa leverage the G7's commitments like climate finance and debt relief to address infrastructure and energy challenges, particularly in transitioning from coal to renewables?
Well, it's important in the sense that the G7 and also the G20 are very important in terms of framing the climate change discussions, particularly in the sort of world where the US is now being rather disruptive in those discussions. So one of the big issues at the moment is the sort of the climate finance gap, particularly for Africa. And so President Ramaphosa's work preparing for the G20 summit is important in trying to help encourage the developed world to close that gap.
Now, what specific development finance initiatives discussed at the summit could perhaps bolster South Africa's economic recovery and job creation efforts?
Well, there's a whole set of continuing initiatives around climate finance, some of which are to fund what's called mitigation. So that's reducing emissions. So that links to the issues around the transition from coal to a more renewables-based energy system, say in South Africa, but also around, which is much more important for Africa in general, is around what's called adaptation, because in the end, Africa, South Africa included, we are not the causes of climate change, but the consequences are going to hit most hard in Africa. So there's a lot of a need for money and finance for adaptation.
Civilians have faced
fresh waves of attack. How should South Africa navigate the G7's Just Energy Transition Programme which is being criticized as offering repayable green loans rather than grants?
I think one needs to think that there's always going to be a combination of both loans and grants, that what one needs primarily is more finance. There are, as I mentioned, there's this big climate finance gap. There's been lots of promises over the last 20 years, 10, 15, 20 years from the developed worlds, which they haven't necessarily fulfilled. The last UN climate meeting, it was identified a sort of a $1.3 trillion need in terms of climate finance per year, but the amount of commitments were significantly less than that. So I think one shouldn't necessarily think, oh, well, because it's not grants, that's not necessarily valuable money. I think there's also other issues, as, say, Minister Mantashe said here in South Africa, around the energy transition, in the sense that it doesn't always go with what's needed in terms of economic development. So that many of the places where there are many jobs associated with, say, coal and coal production. And so the energy transition is not necessarily going to align with the requirements for economic development.
Now, with the G20 summit coming up in November, how do you see Stellenbosch University and perhaps other institutions influencing G7, G20 alignment to prioritise African development needs like infrastructure and industrial growth?
Well, I think the key is perhaps to point out that there are trade-offs, right? So there are many trade-offs between the goals of governments, and that governments have different national interests, and we see that particularly now in terms of the US's behaviour in terms of climate change. And that we need to recognise that, and governments need to be clear about their national interests. So in terms of energy security, the way it's wrapped up in the G20 and the G7, it sounds as if there's only one policy goal there. But actually, there's at least three. And therefore, one needs more than one instrument, economic instrument. If you imagine you've got two targets and you've only got one arrow, it's going to be very difficult to hit both targets. So you need to understand that there are trade-offs, and we need to be focused on balancing those trade-offs as well as best we can.
Well, thanks very much for that. That was Professor Ewan Pimister, Head of Development Finance at the Stellenbosch Business School.
Moving on with other news, Rwanda's expectations for the fourth China-Africa Economic and Trade Expo.
Time attending the China-Africa Economic and Trade Expo, what have been the key benefits for Rwanda in the past editions, and what are your expectations for this year's summit?
We have been exposing our products, showcasing our
container leaders.
It's Rwanda's fourth time attending the China-Africa Economic and Trade Expo. What have been the key benefits for Rwanda in the past editions, and what are your expectations for this year's summit?
We have been exposing our products, showcasing our agricultural products, mainly coffee and tea. You know that those are one of the top quality coffee and tea in the world, but also other products like chili, other agricultural products like honey is also a showcase here. So we want, of course, to continue this year so that the Chinese public knows about the products in order to promote export to China. But also we want to take this opportunity of this expo to promote investment to Rwanda, because there are Chinese investment, Chinese companies that have been investing in Rwanda. Actually, China is the first contributor to the Rwandan FDI, foreign development investment. So it has been an important expo for us, and then we are happy, and then we will use also this year's edition to continue promoting our export and our investments.
So Rwanda has become one of Africa's leading examples in terms of attracting foreign investment. Could you share with us some specific advantages for Chinese companies investing in Rwanda?
Rwanda has been ranked for several years in a row as among the top three of African countries in terms of business environment. We have one of the best climate for investment. In Rwanda, we have been really investing in reforms to attract foreign investments, especially reforms in tax, in administration, so tax and administrative reforms that we have been implementing. Now, in Rwanda, you can open a company in a few hours, not more than 6 hours. We don't have restrictions on a foreign-owned company. We can have 100% foreign-owned company. And also repatriation of benefits is also allowed. And we have many other incentives for foreign investments. Also, we have been making other reforms to make our country open for people from outside, including investors. You know that Rwanda is the only country in the world, I believe, that all citizens of the world can get visa on arrival. We have even countries like China where people don't need visa, and also African countries don't need visa to come to Rwanda, and also members, citizens of member state of other international organizations in which we are part, like the Francophonie or Commonwealth. So we are an open country. Not only for investors, but also for people, because we also want to promote people-to-people exchanges.
Meanwhile, in Zambia, members of parliament are briefed on the 2025 Constitution Bill.
A reform process is underway, and to ensure it is inclusive, participatory, and consultative, a workshop for lawmakers has been organized. Speaker of the National Assembly, Nelly Muti, has officiated at the consultative workshop.
I am therefore very delighted that Parliament is once again at the center of this pivotal chapter in our constitutional history. I have every confidence that honourable members will rise to this occasion in the interests of the country and citizens.
Deputy Clerk for Corporate Affairs, Cecilia Mambo, is urging MPs to acquaint themselves with the clauses under review.
In order for the members of parliament to effectively speak on behalf of the millions of Zambians on a very important document, you must undertake that function from an informed position, and hence the importance of this workshop.
And Justice Minister is confident that the current amendments will address the gaps in the Constitution.
It is essential, of course, to bring this important dialogue back to all of you here at the National Assembly, because as you have heard or maybe are aware, this is going to take a legislative process which is anchored around Article 79 of the Constitution of Zambia, which gives permission to Parliament, through the members of Parliament, to alter the Constitution.
Experts have also shared their insights on the proposed clauses in the draft bill.
We are trying to maintain the first-past-the-post-electoral system for election of members of Parliament who shall represent constituencies, and we are also introducing a proportional representation electoral system for election of women, youths, and persons with disabilities as members of Parliament without constituencies.
The House passes the bill when the third reading is done. Once the third reading is done, then the bill has gone off the hands of the National Assembly. What's the next procedure is presidential assent. This is the stage at which now the bill is going to be presented before the President for assent. The President shall within 21 days sign the bill.
The Constitution Amendment Bill 2025
will be tabled in Parliament this June. Ruth Chainda, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Enough for a commercial break.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get to a YouSave, your low-budget grocery store where good food costs less. Get 100 grams of Nescafe Re-Coffee Instant Coffee at $34.99 or 10 tagless 5-rose tea bags for only $9.99. 1 liter full cream Nam milk fresh milk for $18.99. 500 milliliters of Rietfontein Oshingandela for only $17.99. And 6 200 milliliter boxes of Rhodes 40% fruit juice blend to enjoy at just $44.99. You save, we all save at You Save.
And now let's continue with our news. Still on international news or news beyond the borders. DRC UN Rights Chief says that AMI M23 forces have committed atrocities.
The UN says both AMI and rebel forces have committed potential war crimes in eastern Congo. M23 fighters have carried out extrajudicial killings, while AMI soldiers and allied militias have committed rape, the UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights said.
Le M23, soutenu par le Rwanda, a utilisé...
The Rwandan-backed M23 used heavy weapons during its offensive in Goma in January, hitting densely populated neighborhoods and camps for displaced people. When the DRC's armed forces withdrew, there was a complete breakdown in the chain of command, control and military discipline. Congolese soldiers and members of the DRC-backed Wazalendo militia killed, raped and pillaged. The UN has also received reports of the large-scale use of sexual violence as a weapon of war by both sides. I call on all parties to the conflict to commit immediately to a ceasefire and to resume negotiations and to respect international humanitarian law and human rights. I renew my call to Rwanda to withdraw its forces from DRC territory and to cease all support to the M23. The conclusions are based on work by a fact-finding mission sent by the Human Rights Council to Eastern Congo 4 months ago.
Kampala Jinja Expressway delays raise concerns over corruption and funding.
General's 2024 annual report reveals that Uganda spent 73 billion shillings in commitment fees last year. This is money paid to lenders for loans that remain unused due to project delays.
One of the challenges you see is the low absorption of externally funded funds. I think we stand at around 35% of absorption of the money we borrow. That is extremely low for the country to develop. There is a project which people don't know, by the way. Go to Africa Development Bank. Check on the website. There is a project called Jinja Express Highway. It was approved in 2018 by Africa Development Bank at $400 something million. Up to now, nothing has happened. They're supposed to be completed in 2022. Now we're in 2025, there is nothing. But when you check on the African Bank website, can you check? This is not the information. Can you check? The project is there. You'll see how much you have been paying on commitment fees.
However, some members of parliament say that this delay is intentional, created to allow some individuals to eat.
Have you seen during compensation when the technical team go and they survey land where the road is going to pass? They survey, they acquire land titles, they can produce a land title in a week, and tomorrow they claim ownership and they claim big compensation. I saw it during the Entebbe Express Highway. People had land titles in a swamp. Can you imagine? And we're asking for compensation. So these are the deals between the technical group and the borrower. That's what I think. But that's why I say we are equally disappointed.
And this, of course, has ripple effects.
And now for a scheduled commercial break, and we'll be back right after that.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save and you save.
Only does it increase the cost of servicing the debt, it also puts pressure on domestic borrowing as external sources become exhausted.
The government is now coming back to domestic borrowing, which is also affecting the private sector. So if at all we don't utilize the loans that we acquire, due to also affect our reputation on the global markets and our access on external finances.
The government is going to run for commercial loans because they are short term and they are easy to be accessed, and that means you're going to pay a lot of interest on those loans.
The Auditor General has consistently recommended that the Ministry of Finance develop strategies to enhance loan absorption rates, but it remains to be seen when these recommendations will be implemented. Roana Habwe, NTV Business.
Livestock traders count losses after lifting of export ban.
Turaku, a livestock market in Niamey, is bustling with activities after the lifting of the livestock export ban. Many traders had expressed disappointment with the ban, which took effect on May 9th.
In neighboring countries, we have people who order animals that they buy for a million or more. We have the best quality livestock in Niger, and we've been denied permission to take the animals out. I can tell you that there are more than 600 lorries that can go out every year. The Senegalese need good quality sheep. A Senegalese can pay 1, 2, or 3 million for a sheep to give to an imam.
According to Niger's statistics, animal resources are the second largest source of export revenue after mining. They account for 62% of export earnings from agricultural products and 21% of all exports. The Tabaski period, a Muslim festival when it's recommended to slaughter an animal, is a good time for young people like Abdulaziz Ayuba to export sheep.
It's through exporting that some people managed to make money. Some got into debt and they couldn't go abroad. Today they are in debt and the animals are here. What we sell for 100,000 here, we can sell for between 150,000 and 200,000 FCFA. This ban has really penalized us.
In another decree, the Ministry of Trade authorized exports to the two countries of the Sahel States Alliance of Burkina Faso and Mali. But for El Hadj Boubacar Moussa, president of the Collective of Pastoral Associations of Niger, it was too late.
The observation we made during the month of the ban, if we look at the traders' analysis, was that prices did not fall as the government had intended. Many people were at the border when they heard about the ban. They were prevented from continuing, and it was difficult to take care of the animals locally.
Niger is over 99% Muslim and has one of the largest herds of animals in the sub-region. However, due to speculation, especially in connection with exports to coastal countries, prices are rising sharply. Sophia Shimichero, CGTN.
Construction set to start on $4 billion Red Sea Bridge between Saudi Arabia and Egypt.
Soon, people will be able to travel between Egypt and Saudi Arabia in about an hour by car. The highway itself will be 30 kilometers long, plus a 10-kilometer bridge that will link Ras Hamid City in Saudi Arabia with Egypt's Sharm el-Sheikh spanning the Red Sea. But it's not a new idea. Ahmed el-Din Nabil is one of the consultants who worked on the concept decades ago.
The idea was floated back in 2003, and many companies submitted offers to build it, and I was one of the consultants on the project. But the recent sea border demarcation between Egypt and Saudi Arabia made it possible to finally build the highway and make the dream come true.
The bridge is a cheaper and faster transport option than sea freight or air flights. It has five lanes on both sides to allow about 55,000 trucks to cross daily, and a railway line that will facilitate the movement of labor and goods. The business community has commended the project, saying it can promote bilateral trade and investments as well as economic integration between Asia and Africa.
Our company trades between both countries. We currently stock our products partially in Egypt and in Saudi Arabia. The new bridge will improve logistics as our warehouses will be located in dry ports along the highway. This will significantly reduce costs and help us expand our business. It will also create Afro-Asian economic integration and open the door for the transport of goods and services between both continents at lower costs.
The groundbreaking project is also expected to give a huge boost to the tourism industry, especially because it runs through the Red Sea resort city of Sharm el-Sheikh and next to Saudi's upcoming neon futuristic city.
The project will boost Saudi and Egyptian Vision 2030, as many tourism projects, like hotels, will be developed along the highway, in Sinai in Egypt, and in Saudi Arabian side to increase tourist inflows. The faster, cheaper route will also hike religious tourism, with more pilgrims expected to travel to Saudi Arabia on this road.
However, the so-called Moses Bridge still faces several challenges.
First, located on the Red Sea makes it a sensitive project geopolitically in this volatile period. It is monitored by most countries, especially the US and Israel. It is also important for China because it's part of the Silk Road. Another difficulty is the Red Sea corridors under the bridge. Plans have been modified to build a cable suspension bridge to avoid marine environmental damages in the area.
According to the Egyptian government, the plans are ready and approximately $4 billion project, completely financed by the Saudi side, will enter the construction phase in the near future. Yes, Hakim for CGTN, Cairo, Egypt.
In China, young African entrepreneurs personify growing China-Africa cooperation.
Young African entrepreneurs working in China personify the growing economic cooperation between China and Africa. Some, like Khalifa C. Diop, have found a fertile ground in the Hunan province. He founded the Mali Business Center to mentor Chinese and Malian businesses. No matter how big a company grows, it can only solve problems for a limited group of people. But engaging in projects and industrialization can benefit an entire nation's future. Success doesn't need to bear my name. I'll keep doing my part in collaboration between Hunan and Africa, now and in the future. I'll support my children in carrying this mission forward. Hunan's free trade zone has allowed international entrepreneurs to launch their startups, like Ojo Rachal from Benin. His firm exports Chinese engineering machinery, hardware and solar products to Africa and imports premium cashews, palm oil and coffee to China. Thanks to the visa policy, I can get the startup visa and register my company here. That's been the biggest help. Now, expanding any project I want to work on is convenient. When people abroad ask where they should invest and do trade in China, I would recommend Changsha. Chinese and African representatives celebrated this bilateral cooperation during the 4th China-Africa Economic and Trade Expo last week.
Africa has everything China needs. China has everything Africa needs. As in Africa, we have huge deficit in terms of electricity. So we have been able to sign two strategic contracts now. One is in solar, the second is agricultural drones. So we, by these two projects, we want to push forward the engagement of Chinese and African youth together to collaborate in knowledge sharing, in technology sharing.
China said last week it would remove tariffs on African imports to boost trade. China has been Africa's largest trading partner for the last 15 years.
In other news, manhunt underway for suspect after attack on Minnesota politicians.
In the United States, and a major manhunt is underway in the Midwestern state of Minnesota after two lawmakers were targeted and one of them killed in an attack on Saturday morning. The state's governor, Tim Walz, called it an act of targeted political violence. Simon Jones has this report.
Hundreds of officers on the streets hunting a gunman who's targeting politicians. Democratic State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed in their home. Democratic State Lawmaker John Hoffman and his wife were also shot multiple times. They survived. The front door of their house is riddled with bullets. Mr. Hoffman is said to be out of surgery and in a stable condition. The president gave his reaction to the shootings.
Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible, and they're looking for that particular man right now.
And this is the man the police are hunting, Vance Luther Bolter. He's believed to have impersonated a police officer and escaped after engaging fire with the police.
We would ask the public, if you do locate him, to see him, to call 911. Do not approach him. You should consider him armed and dangerous, and you should call 911 immediately with the information.
This is the vehicle believed to have been used by the suspect. It was equipped with emergency lights. Police say they found a list of names of other officials in it. The suspect is now believed to be traveling on foot.
It was not a real police officer. This is somebody that clearly had been impersonating a police officer, again, using the trust of this badge and this uniform to manipulate their way into the home.
The authorities are warning people in the area not to answer their door to a police officer unless there are two officers together. Officials are investigating the connection between the suspect and the politicians who were attacked.
This was an act of targeted political violence. Peaceful discourse is the foundation of our democracy. We don't settle our differences with violence or at gunpoint.
Increased security has been put in place for elected officials in Minnesota against the backdrop of political violence in the U.S. becoming increasingly common. Simon Jones, BBC News.
And finally, Air India plane crash death toll rises to 270.
To India now, and authorities say they've now recovered 270 bodies from the site of the plane crash in Ahmedabad city on Thursday. 241 people on board the flight died. One British passenger escaped through a hole in the fuselage. Our correspondent Davina Gupta sent this report from the city.
An angry Ghulam Rasool demanding the body of his friend Javed at the city hospital in Ahmedabad.
This is an emergency case and the DNA report should come out quickly, but the authorities are not doing anything about it.
Javed was among those killed when the London-bound Air India flight crashed on Wednesday. In another corner, more angry voices. "Give my son's body back," shouts one man. The process is slow. Families first have to submit DNA samples for identification and then they're asked to go to the government mortuary.
Now, there's a cold storage room inside where the bodies have been kept under freezing conditions till the time their family members can come forward and identify them. Now, they've been charred beyond recognition. So just outside this place, there is a table where officials are sitting to confirm a DNA match. Now, these are the family members who've already given their DNA samples in another hospital. And once they have been matched, they've been called here to show their identification, and after that, they've been allowed to go inside.
And by the evening, some answers begin to arrive. Officials say they've had DNA matches for a total of 11 victims so far. Among the first to be identified was a young medical student, Aryan Rajput. His family took his body home to the central Indian city of Gwalior for a final farewell. They're also seeking the truth behind this flight crash.
That tragic incident.
The government says it's speeding up the probe.
One important update from the technical investigation, which is happening through the AIB, is the recovery of the black box yesterday around 5 p.m. We are also eagerly waiting for what the results or the report is going to be.
And finally, investigators find cockpit voice recorder from the crashed flight.
Now, investigators are studying the cockpit voice recorder from the Air India plane, which crashed in the Indian city of Ahmedabad last week. More than 270 people died, both in the aircraft and on the ground. A team from Boeing, which made the 787 aircraft which crashed, has joined the investigation. The second black box flight recorder was found yesterday. It's understood to have recordings of conversations between the pilots just before the crash. Well, our India correspondent Archana Shukla is at the crash site where investigators, as we've said, have found both black boxes.
And they are very closely reviewing the data from there. It would take still some time before the final, with news on what really would have gone wrong. But remember the black box and the elements of that, the flight safety data, recorder data, as well as the cockpit voice data, is the crucial element that could tell us what exactly happened during the last few seconds before the Boeing 787 actually went down. Multiple investigating agencies, workers here trying to pick up pieces and put it all together to figure out what would have gone wrong.
Yeah, and we're just looking at pictures of the crash site there, Archana. An immensely complicated operation, not least because of where the plane crashed, in a residential area.
Absolutely, and that has compounded both the nature of the tragedy as well as the challenge in terms of both trying to figure out the remains, the evidences, etc., on ground for the agencies here. There were residential buildings, there was a medical college hostel, and the aircraft itself. And because it was a very, very densely populated area, the way the wreckage spread across has made it also challenging to pick up pieces. It's been 5 days. They are still picking up pieces from the site, still trying to find. In fact, in the morning, we had an ambulance come over and we were told some human remains were even still being found at the site. So that somewhere really shows the challenge that this rescue operation as well as this investigation has on its hand in the days to come.
Archana Shukla, they're reporting from the crash site in India.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up today's On the Radar News Bulletin. Stay tuned for Onkundana Dingi with Patimoshela Lukolo, David Shumbe, and Bernadette Simon, followed by the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut at 4:30. Don't forget, The Villager will be available on Wednesday with more in-depth stories and analysis. So as we near the end of June, we wish you a wonderful conclusion to the month. May it bring fresh opportunities. Have a great week, and until next time, goodbye.
Lipuranenge no wapogwa eva tere urikoni mando tuto ingida ashike kapeno mwepo tete opoe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okupitira oipindi konu kondadoi nawa. Ninyuto, o tukwetira o special ange tasha kengeje pa Omaru Day dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oi jamweli nawa. Ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etafimwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ileko, derewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.